Across Southeast Asia, there's been a sharp rise in the number of women joining armed groups. Female fighters have been responsible for more than 70% of suicide attacks in Asia over the last 3 years. But others are working just as hard to reintegrate them into society.
Kapag ang ating approach pa ay i-criminalize pa sila, so it will really continue.
Saving people from going down to the wrong path is a primary motivation for me.
101 East investigates why women are increasingly funding, recruiting and killing for violent groups. It's a sunny day in the Indonesian capital, Jakarta, and counter-terrorism expert Erin Gayatri is on her way to prison to talk to a convicted female fighter.
Kunjungan ini sangat penting karena dengan bertemu langsung, berinteraksi sama membantu kita untuk tidak salah menafsirkan atau tidak salah membaca posisi mereka dan kasus.
Erin says it's important to understand the motivations of these women. Today, she is meeting 33-year-old Liz Diawati, who is serving a 3.5-year sentence for raising money and buying weapons for ISIL.
Kalau Ana sendiri dari ibu bapak Ana seorang petani ya, jadi Ana juga biasa dari kecil itu bu ikut bantu nyiram, ya. Kayak nyiram semangka, kadang-kadang jagung gitu-gitu kan sampai ya kaki kering, tangan kering gitu udah. Ana pergi, maksudnya jauh dari rumah gitu. Ana di pesantren kan sama sekolah di Mangkang. Waktu kecil Ana tuh sederhana banget. Sederhana banget. Ana nggak tahu namanya mall. Nggak tahu namanya apa itu. Karaoke apa, benar-benar nggak tahu. Jadi benar-benar dari kecil sampai Ana akhirnya besar, Ana ingin mempunyai apa ya tabungan sendiri kan.
Liz Diawati found work in Singapore and then Hong Kong.
Ana pegang Android layar sentuh itu, Ana udah di Hong Kong kan. Waktu itu memang Facebook Ana juga nggak bisa buat Facebook sebenarnya. Jadi teman Ana yang buatin. Jadi Ana cari yang pemahaman yang bercadar dan pakai seragam gitu. Situ Ana berteman. Itu memang Ana masih awam ya. Peperangan kan seorang muslim di negara Syam gitu. Nah, Ana tertarik untuk membuka itu.
She says she became convinced of the need to help ISIL in Syria.
Pas dengar kabar dari Syam tentang hadis-hadis tentang akhir zaman, pahala gitu kan, pahala bagi orang-orang yang menegakkan syariat Islam yang di sana. Ya, itu terpacu bagi Ana. Dan makin menggebu saat Ana melihat penderitaan yang di sana itu, Ana makin greget, makin emosi.
Liz Diawati connected with an ISIL social media group.
Jadi mujahidah di sana ada satu mujahidah yang bikin Ana terinspirasi kan. Jadi dia tuh karena negaranya ada diserang dan perempuan-perempuannya pada dilecehkan gitu kan. Terus dia meledakkan diri dia. Dia mungkin 19 tahunan ya.
Masih sangat muda
tapi dia mentalnya Masya Allah udah untuk memukul mundur orang musuh tuh dia udah kuat gitu loh yakinannya. Itu yang bikin inspirasi Ana. Oh iya ya.
She began sending money to a fellow Indonesian called Arif. In 2020, he was arrested with bomb-making materials, weapons and propaganda in his possession. Police also found a high-powered firearm that belonged to Liz Diawati.
Waktu itu rencana pengen beli senjata. Ada kan nawarin Mbak Ana. Ini ada loh, pen kecil yang kecil kemarin kan anak kurang suka ya karena setengah pakai. Nah, ditawarin ini ada nih senapan laras panjang.
Arif's mobile phone records implicated Liz Giawati, and she too was arrested. She claims the gun was never intended for use in Indonesia, and that she was planning to travel to Syria. Erin shares her interviews with other intelligence experts across Asia, like Dr. Jolene Gerard.
She seems to draw an understanding that there is no barrier to taking up arms or being involved in violent action.
Andai kita mati, kita syahid itu kan nggak terasa seperti gigit nyamuk. Jadi sakit pun nggak terasa.
As you see from the video, one of the things that often surfaces is that women can be motivated solely by ideology, and this is manifested online through their conversations.
When Liz Giawati is released in 2 years' time, she will receive government support to help her reintegrate back into society.
I think based on the interview, it does not speak to the fact that she has been de-radicalized as of yet. It doesn't speak to de-radicalization patterns or a sense of regret.
Baik, nama saya Munir Kartono. Dulu saya sempat terlibat di ISIS. Saya berperan dalam proses pendanaan, kemudian rekrutmen, termasuk juga rekrutmen perempuan.
The money Munir raised funded deadly attacks, including one in 2016, around Tamrin Street, a shopping district near foreign embassies in Jakarta.
ISIS has now claimed responsibility for today's deadly terror attack in Indonesia.
Crowds ran for safety as police and the attackers opened fire.
Seven people were killed and many more injured in the Tamrin attack, which was masterminded by a man called Bahrun Naim.
Saya dengan Bahrun Naim memang orang-orang pertama yang mencetuskan ide seperti itu. Khususnya itu terjadi setelah penangkapan beberapa orang-orang pada saat setelah terjadi tragedi di Tamrin pertamanya untuk membawa orang-orang perempuan ke garis depan.
Munir was jailed in 2016 but released in 2020, claiming to have renounced his former ideology. He's now writing a book about how ISIL operates, including its use of women.
Jadi pada saat dan kemudian bahwa kita ini nilai-nilai yang saya pikir yang umum ya, bahwa perempuan dengan perempuan lainnya itu bisa lebih akrab, mencenderung gitu ya. Pada saat perempuan satu sudah bisa kita ajak untuk mencari dana atau melakukan apa namanya pada posisi tertentu yang lain, mereka akan lebih gampang untuk mengkonsolidasikan itu dengan perempuan-perempuan lain, dan itu terjadi misalkan di antara teman-teman tenaga kerja Indonesia yang ada di luar negeri. Dalam jaringan ini, dan dana-dana itu digunakan untuk hal berbagai macam, salah satunya untuk kami. Itu titik strategis ya, bahwa kami berpandangan pada saat itu bahwa peran perempuan untuk dilibatkan karena memang petugas ini tidak agak rikuh ya kalau terhadap perempuan, terutama apalagi misalkan yang memakai kerudung, bercadar, untuk memeriksa ini aja sudah rikuh gitu.
In 2016, Munir and his accomplices were planning an ISIL attack on Indonesia's presidential palace when he received a big shock.
Dan tanpa diduga gitu kan, saya tidak menawarkan, saya tidak menyuruh. Tanpa diduga, mantan istri saya itu menawarkan diri. Dia menawarkan diri untuk menjadi seorang martir. Akhirnya saya kembali mengontak Bahrun Naim saat itu, bahwa saya bilang bahwa sudah ada yang mau.
But just days before the attack was due to take place, Munir says his then wife backed out. Another woman was recruited to carry out the bombing, but the plot was foiled by Indonesian authorities. Today, Aaron is visiting Bundung Prison to meet 45-year-old Marifa, who was jailed for assisting a violent group. Aaron is accompanied by agents from Indonesia's counter-terrorism unit and permitted to film using a mobile phone. Marifa was linked to a 2019 attack on Indonesia's then security minister, Wiranto. 21-year-old Fitri Diana and her husband, Abu Rara, were arrested at the scene after stabbing the minister three times. Wiranto made a full recovery.
Tapi saya waktu itu nggak merasa apa ya, nggak merasa mau diambil gitu karena saya merasa aman-aman aja begitu. Tapi setelah waktu itu kan habis ngantar anak dibuntutin, ketika di rumah itu baru ya agak ngeh gitu, apa sih dikaitkan dengan ini Abu Rara gitu kan? Karena memang saya mengenal. Saya tidak tahu sama sekali, tidak terkait gitu kan.
Authorities reject Marifa's claim that she wasn't aware of the attack, claiming she had funded it and also had connections to other attacks. Marifa says she shared the funds as an act of kindness.
Kalau kadang ada teman yang ngeluh begini-begini, ini sakit atau nggak punya uang, ini ya kalau saya ada dari sisa uang belanja gitu kan, kadang saya kumpulan, ya saya bantu gitu kan. Intinya niatnya cuma membantu, gitu. Ya nggak cuma Abu Rara aja sih, lainnya juga iya.
After an hour, Aaron's time is up. Nanda Olivia Daniel's life was changed forever by the actions of armed groups. In 2004, when she was a university student, she was a victim of the Australian embassy bombing in Jakarta, which killed 9 people and injured more than 150.
Yang saya ingat cuma suara mendesing yang kenceng banget yang bikin kuping saya sakit. Dan pada saat itu saya ngelihat tangan saya tuh udah bolong gede di sini, udah ada luka menganga. Banyak dari kita yang setelah kejadian, karena cacat fisik yang kita alamin, banyak dari kita yang diberhentiin dari kerjaannya, diturunin jabatannya. Setiap kali saya nonton, saya ngerasain ada di situ gitu. Saya ngerasain sakitnya, saya ngerasain sedihnya. Saya marah banget sama pelaku-pelaku bom itu. Dan setiap kali ada berita tentang terorisme yang ditangkap, bahkan ditembak mati, saya seneng. Akhirnya lo ngerasain apa yang gue rasain, sakitnya gue lo rasain. Itu yang saya bilang di hati saya.
The attack left Nanda with permanent injuries. She says it took over a decade for her to receive compensation. In the intervening years, she built a small business selling handicrafts and snacks.
Waktu itu kita sempat yang merasa ini nggak adil gitu. Kenapa dia yang orang jahat disupport, dibantu, dibina, kenapa kita yang jadi korban yang udah terluka nggak dapat apa-apa gitu loh? Saya bilang jangan pernah bilang sekali lagi di depan saya bahwa para pelaku teroris ini juga korban. Yang korban itu kami, yang korban itu saya. Pada saat para teroris itu dikasih paham-paham yang radikal, dia punya pilihan untuk nggak ngelakuin hal tersebut. Tapi kalau saya dan teman-teman saya yang lain, pada hari itu kami nggak punya pilihan, kami harus lewat situ. Pada saat negara mensupport para eksteroris itu, ya kami minta juga jangan melupakan bahwa ada korban efek dari teroris tersebut gitu loh. Juga butuh perhatian, butuh support, dan butuh binaan.
Female fighters might be hard to track in the real world, but one place many converge is online. And that is where one of Malaysia's top counter-terrorism experts spends much of his free time. Ahmed El-Mohammadi is often an expert witness in cases involving armed groups. But when not in court, he devotes many hours to monitoring potential new recruits on social media. In Malaysia, more than 40 women have been arrested for links to ISIL in recent years.
Is this ISIS ideology died or completely eliminated in the cyberspace or in our living space? The answer is no. ISIS ideology remains. So as a person who are interested to understand this kind of ideology, I do monitor the social media platform. And I do monitor the evolution of that ideology.
Ahmed starts with identifying social media pages where people can be radicalized.
So once we get hold of this pool of people, a bunch of people who are interested in this, we can start following them. I try to look at what are the particular narrative that they use, which is related to certain doctrine of extremism, let's say. And then after we convince that we have the right candidate for the intervention, the next step would be engaging with them in terms of asking for more information. In this case, there is no confrontation. I don't refute whatever they said. So I will leave a posting or a comment, why do you say this? Because the whole point is to understand. To understand the logic of that. The logic of that support.
Ahmed is convinced that his approach can save lives.
Saving people from going down to the wrong path is the primary motivation for me.
Over the past 8 years, Ahmed has reached out to numerous Malaysians online who have become radicalized. His most significant intervention was with a young woman named Aisha.
She was very, very active in social media, and she was following all this, what's going on in Syria, for example. And that attracted my attention. I engaged with her, monitored her for quite some time. I think for 2-3 months, we managed to have a conversation, and finally we met.
Ahmed's intervention was just in time.
Well, I think just only one step away. She's about to fly, actually, to Istanbul to join ISIS.
It was a breakthrough moment. Ahmed managed to change the course of Aisha's life. She embarked on a de-radicalization program and helped authorities identify and arrest an ISIL cell.
Hey, good afternoon.
Today, he says she lives a quiet and happy life. But across Asia, women are slipping through the net. One area of particular concern is the southern islands of the Philippines. In Sulu province, 51-year-old May learnt after marrying that her husband was a commander of the Abu Sayyaf armed group.
Natatakot ako noon, hindi asawa ko ang hinahanap, parang ako ang hinahanap. Eh, sinasabi ko na kung nandiyan ang asawa na babae, nandiyan din ang lalaki. Natanggap ko na rin gano'n ang trabaho niya.
Mm-hmm.
Parang ano na rin ako, isang kaaway ng mga gobyerno, mm-hmm. ng mga sundalo. Mm-hmm. Kung pupunta man ako ng taon, may isa kaming bahay na parang secret mm-hmm. na hindi alam ng mga ano. Yeah. So sometimes ako yun ang nagdadala, lalo na sa mga pagkain nila, akong nagpapaligtas. Ganon. Gamot. Oo. Ang masakit pa yung sometimes bala. Sometimes mahigpit naman ang checkpoint, pero pag babae, hindi naman sila nagkakap-kap masyado.
Despite the obvious dangers, the money May's husband earned from Abu Sayyaf gave her family financial security. But after her husband died, that all changed. She was captured by security forces. In jail, scared and isolated, May was visited by Alex Abdullah. Alex's organisation provides job training for women who've worked with armed groups and helps them return to their communities. With Alex's help, May was able to learn the skills she needed to earn her own income and provide for her children.
Malaking impact, malaking pagbabago. Dahil naiba, ang hirap mag-alaga ng isang solo parent. So, yung nakilala na kita, siyempre na iba. Ngayon, sobrang saya. Masaya na yung parang malaya ka na. Sa tulong mo, parang at least namulat ako na naisip ko na mayroon pala magawa kahit as solo parent na. May magawa pala. May, kumbaga, may
makakatulong ka pa sa iba.
Makakatulong pa ako sa iba.
By offering financial security to people like May, Alex says her program tackles one of the root causes of radicalization among women, poverty.
Kapag ang ating approach pa ay i-criminalize pa sila, so it will really continue, magkukontinue po yung paningin, yung ideology na ma-alienate natin sila. Bigyan natin sila ng opportunity to be productive again. Madali lang. So, yun. I think that's the best way na ma-counter natin yung recruitment.
Ruby Khalifa is the Indonesian country director for the Asian Muslim Action Network. She believes women are best placed to counter female fighters and that bringing more women into law enforcement agencies is key.
Dalam pendekatan city yang sangat maskulin, kemudian membuat para pengambil kebijakan ini tidak mampu mendeteksi lebih detail tentang pergerakan bagaimana kelompok perempuan ini berkembang.
In the three countries where female fighters have caused most harm, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Malaysia, the number of female police remain low. In Malaysia, 18% of the police force are women. In the Philippines, 17%. And in Indonesia, which has seen the highest number of attacks by female fighters, the number is just 6%, with no women in police leadership roles or in the country's counter-terrorism agencies. While recruiting more women in law enforcement could be a start, Dr. Jolene Gerard says it's not as simple as that.
I think what is more important is having counter-terrorism officers, male or female, that recognizes the nuances and is able to craft nuanced policies. The assumption would be that if you include a higher proportion of women, that it automatically makes policies balanced. That may not be the case.
Pag hindi natin na-address itong kultura of being the lalaki ang palaging hari, meron silang reason, and these are the push factors. Bakit nga ba sila nag-join, di ba? So, sinasabi na lang na it's purely religion, hindi po naman napupunta. Yung participation nila being a part of the community, wala silang boses.
Liz Chiawati is due to be released from prison in early 2025. It's unclear if she remains a risk to society. But she does have a new priority now.
Jadi di sini di usianya sekarang 9 bulan lebih 16 hari. Mujahidah yang kuat membela agama Allah serta anggun.
Yang terakhir tadi yang saya temui, sekarang itu ada 7 perempuan narapidana teroris yang melahirkan dalam penjara. Belum lama ini begitu. Jadi kayak itu kan menjadi PR baru lagi, bagaimana memperlakukan mereka, gizi anak mereka, menjamin bahwa anak ini tumbuh dengan baik di dalam penjara itu. Orang kan selalu berpikir itu hal yang menakutkan ya, sehingga jarang didalami, jarang didengar begitu. Tapi coba deh membuka diri, masuk di dalam, bertemu langsung, itu tuh tidak menyeramkan yang kita pikirkan. Sekalipun bahkan yang saya temui adalah orang yang keras ya, tetap saja sisi humanity-nya itu akan tetap kita temukan.